Billy, thank you, team. Really do appreciate each and every one of you. God richly and abundantly bless you all. You know, Tuesday night coming, I know it's Halloween night, but we don't celebrate Halloween. We, if anything, remember the Reformation this week. How God gave us the Word of God in our hands and the truth of the Scripture. So today is a day to remember that and to rejoice in the goodness of God in that. I've done many messages on that. They're online and prophecy, Reformation and prophecy and different ones. But Tuesday night, I know it is the world celebrate Halloween. But we'll be praying, even more a reason for you to come and pray against the spiritual wickedness that evades our land and our world every year at this time. So it's even more a reason for you to come and to seek the face of the Lord. Let's turn to the book of Judges, please. Judges. And let's go to chapter 8. Judges chapter 8, please. We're just going to lift out one verse, and we're going to lift this out as an end verse and then go back and trace our steps toward this. Judges chapter 8, and lift out verse 4, please. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over. He and the 300 men that were with him, faint yet pursuing them. Notice the words, faint yet pursuing them. Let us pray. Father, will you take of your word and bless it to our hearts this morning. Inscribe it deep within us. And Lord, will you challenge your people? Will you encourage your people? And Lord, we pray to do as you deem it fit to do. Glorify your Son among us this morning in our hearts and minds. Keep your hand upon those who are away. Think of the youth that are away on a school trip. Bless all those who are away and keep them all safe. And encourage your people this morning, we pray in Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Amen. Could I just ask, maybe, sorry, Jeff, or one of the deacons do down. There's a young couple, it's their first morning, and they went down to the creche there. Would you check on them and see if they're all right? They said to drop the child off. Actually, that young woman just got saved last Sunday night, and I don't want them feeling lost and where to go at the minute. Thank you. A few days ago this week passed, few words came into my mind, and it was fainting yet pursuing. Fainting yet pursuing. And I knew the scripture here of Gideon. I knew it was Gideon pursuing after the Midianites, even after a great victory. And sometimes when you're doing something for God, or maybe sometimes when you're just pressing on in another direction with something you've put your heart and soul and mind into, you can get weary and you can get tired and you can even faint, as it were. Spiritually, you can feel like you're fainting. Physically, can make you feel like you're fainting. Mentally, you can feel like you're fainting. And yet somehow, you're here this morning. And yet somehow you've got out of bed this morning. And yet somehow you're here worshiping the Lord this morning in your fainting fit, whether it's mental, spiritual, or physical. And Gideon with his 300 men are fainting even after a great victory and miracle from the Lord. Would you believe that? You see, sometimes even when we get close to God and God gets close to us, draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto thee. And sometimes when we get close to God and God gets close to us, it's easy for us to ease off the accelerator, so to speak. It's easy for us to ease off the accelerator, and some of us will put on the brakes. And I'm wondering, is that you this morning? You know, sometimes we're in a gospel campaign like we're in at the minute, with three nights there, as you know, in Craigavon Civic Center. And we've done three nights down by Lochan Island direction. My three nights coming up in Portadown Town Hall, and I'm on the phone with the guy from Lochan Island during the week, and I'm hoping, maybe, hopefully, if they're up for it, I'm up for it to do another three nights before Christmas. Or maybe a week, I don't know, see what way it goes. If they're willing and able. We're hoping to do another few nights in Lurgan and Banbridge and different places. And sometimes, as a church, as a person, an assembly, as the pastor, you can start to feel faint. You get it tight. You can get weary in your mind. And then your body's weary, your spirit's weary, and you're faint. But somehow you keep on pressing on. Somehow you find yourself that all of a sudden the work has been almost accomplished and you're almost there. And you need that extra push. You know, you can feel weary after having a great spiritual battle and seeing the victory of God saving souls and even the healing of bodies and whatever it may be. And you feel that, you know, you sense that you're aware of God's wonder at it and you're, as it were, in an elated state. Things are great. But all of a sudden, you can crash. But you still get up and, as my pastor used to call it, you go through the motions. I'm only going through the motions. And you feel and you think that it means nothing. That there is no faith because your feelings are so low. Because you feel like this, you're going through the motions. Well, you pursuing on in the fainting fit is you showing, even going through the emotions, is you showing that you have even a little bit of faith still within you. Because it's that faith, that belief, that will, that want, even if it's small, that has you to get up in the morning and to keep on going. And they keep on going. And so, brothers and sisters, maybe that's you this morning. You're fainting, yet you're pursuing. This was a busy, busy week, this one, especially for myself. And this wasn't the week of the mission, but I was still really busy, out every night. And I was wondering, at coming to the end of the week, I felt, you know, my head was sore. I was sore nearly all over. I was just tired and I was weary. I was feeling faint, but yet pursuing. And God gave me this word, this little line earlier in the week. You're faint, son, but you're still pursuing. You're fainting, but you're still pursuing. Keep going. Don't give up. Don't give in. Press on. Keep trusting. Keep believing. And keep believing that things are going to improve, faith will increase, and things will get better. Spiritually better. Maybe you're in a place mentally better, physically. Then you need to rest the body for a day or so, or whatever you need. Physically better. Fainting, yet pursuing. Gideon had 300 chosen men. You could say they were the elite soldiers. And he's got to the place of a massive victory. He's seen God work out such a victory that was impossible with them. And what happens? He looks at his men and they're weak and they're weary and they're tired. They're exhausted but they're still pursuing. You see, sometimes we have to dig deep and realize we're just not there yet. Sometimes we have to dig deep and realize we are just not there yet. You know, sometimes people give up when they're going to pray. And they're praying for something. And they give up maybe one prayer too soon. Maybe it's 10 prayers too soon. And you're praying and you're praying and you're asking God to speak, to move, to do. And you need to pray it through to the end regardless. Pray through to the end regardless. Trusting in his sovereignty that he knows best and will do best. You could be praying this morning. You could have been praying all week about a situation. And it seems like there's no change. Brothers and sisters, we've said it before. And I know my wife has said it at the women's meeting. Don't be through praying, but rather pray through it. Don't be through praying, but pray on through until you have the finality of the answer. Sometimes God doesn't give us the exact answer we think and we believe we should get, but he does answer. Gideon with his 300 men of warfare are weary. They are tired even after a great accomplishment in the Lord and then after the Lord showing them a massive miracle. Fainting, yet pursuing. Maybe that's you. If you hear anything this morning, then hear this. Keep going and don't give up. Keep going and don't give up. You know, I do. I must admit, I felt that just tiredness this week. And it was coming on me and coming on me as a just weary after the missions, the two missions. All those, and thank you for all who were able to get out and do the leaflets with us. 7,000 leaflets went out to 7,000 homes. And we were out one night, later than usual. If Andre was here, he'd probably be saying, I'd have wrapped it all up earlier because he likes to believe in getting out another night too. But we've done it all in one night, and thank you. But I'm sure you're weary. Those who have been helping with the mission, those even from the last one down in Craigavon, I'm sure you're tired. And you know, our church is a busy church. It's a lot of things going on week in, week out. And there are people who are ministering, who are laboring, who are moving left, right, and center to try and get things to work and happen, going through times of pressure, going through things of disappointment, and they end up feeling faint. And we're a busy church, but listen, if we lean on our own understanding and if we lean on our own strength, we will totally fall. But keep going on and rest in God, knowing that even the smallest of matter, the smallest of things, the Lord will strengthen you and use you for it. You might say, well, you know, maybe that's me. I'm going through the motions just. In my faith, I don't feel anything. And it's nice to feel blessed, and it's nice to feel the Lord's presence and to feel the Lord near us. But we don't go on feelings. We go on our faith. I feel like this, Lord, but I still believe that you're on the throne. I feel faint, Lord. I am fainting, Lord, but I still believe that you hear and answer prayer. I am fainting, Lord, but I am determined, not in my strength, but in your strength, Lord, that I will continue to pursue, to press on. So, weak Christian, join the club. WEAK, join the club. All of us are weak, but when we are weak, then he is strong. And when we are weak and he is strong, then it means he receives all the glory. And it's not of ourselves that no flesh should glory in his presence. Not one of us will stand on that day and say, but I gave, or I worked, or I done, or I offered, or I tried, and that's why I'm saved, and that's why I'm here. Not one of us will be able to say that. But all of us who have come to a saving knowledge and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will be able to say, I'm here because of what the Lord Jesus has done. I'm here because of his doing, because of his dying, because of his rising again. I'm here because of his sacrifice. So Gideon with 300 men of, they're men of valor, they're men of vigilance, and they're men of victory. Men of valor and men of vigilance, and they are men of victory. And hence Gideon, earlier in the chapters, has been chosen to deliver Israel out of the hands of their enemies, the Midianites. Turn with me just over a page or two, if you will, to Judges, please. The book of Judges, chapter 6. And listen, if you read this when you get your next opportunity, whether it's this afternoon, tonight, or tomorrow, read this whole narrative of the scripture. It is powerful. It is mighty. Judges, chapter 6. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, then Judges. It's your seventh book of the Old Testament. Notice this, if you will. The name Gideon here. Let your eye run down. Judges chapter 6, the verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord. This really, I believe, is a theophany, a pre-Bethlehem appearance of Christ. There came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained to Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. So notice, Gideon, his name means hewer, H-E-W-E-R, a feller of trees. In other words, it means a cutter down. So whatever his mum and dad were thinking of whenever he was born, give him this name, and it means a cutter down, a hewer of trees. And the Lord was to take this man now, this young man now, and use him as a namesake for what he was next about to do. See, everything in our lives is ordered of him. He's sovereign. You're not an accident on the earth. You're on the earth by divine providence. And notice this, Gideon means to cut down or to hew down. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 12, we'll just go back and forward in this for a moment. Let your eye run down to verse 12. It says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, unto Gideon, and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now, where is Gideon? But he's behind the wine press, threshing wheat. Strange place. Wine and wheat. Bread and wine. The table. He's hiding behind it, threshing wheat. Gives the idea of the bread and the wine. What better place for you and I to hide this morning when we are fainting, yet pursuing and find ourselves in a place this morning like this than behind this table which speaks of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ and his broken body and his precious shed blood? What a better place than to hide than in the wounds of Christ? There's no better place to be found than in the wounds of Christ. So notice in verse 12, the angel of the Lord says, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now let's look at this. The Midianites have taken over the land. Gideon's behind a wine press, threshing wheat, trying to get some wheat to make some flour. And the Lord is with him. Wouldn't you think if the Lord was with you, you wouldn't have any problems? Wouldn't you think if the Lord was with you that you wouldn't have any queries of or troubles or heartaches or anxieties or hurts? Wouldn't you think? Yet this angel of the Lord comes to Gideon and says, the Lord is with you. Neve, imagine the Lord just, an angel, big angel standing and saying, Neve, the Lord's with you. Siobhan and Patty, imagine you two, the big angel standing and saying, Billy, the Lord is with you. And maybe imagine him saying it at the very lowest point of your life, when the country seems overrun by the ungodly. Sound familiar? When the country's overrun by the ungodly and everything you stand for or stood for in faith has been torn down and there seems only a little left. In fact, Gideon doesn't even know there's anybody left. Sounds like Ulster today, doesn't it? Ireland today. United Kingdom today. But you're left. But you're left, and there's more than one Gideon. You can be the cutter down, the hewer down. Because the next thing he does is he cuts down the altars of Baal, the shrines of man's imagination and his devilish ideologies. And you are here for this present time. God has placed you on earth at this present time, because you're in, what did I say, his divine providence, brought you to the gospel at this present time, saved your soul and reared you up in the faith, whether you've been walking with the Lord and saved for 50, 60, 70 years or 1 week. Sunday night to Sunday. You are saved and here for this time, that you would be used to be the feller, the cutter down of all of the ungodliness in the altars of Baal. All the things that are being pushed on us in our nation and land. And you sit and say, it's only me but me. Who am I? Who am I to do anything? Well, brothers and sisters, I probably more than anybody could say, who am I? Where God brought me from? Who am I? And Gideon is really saying, well, Lord, who am I? And this angel says, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with thee. Notice, thou mighty man of valor. Gideon's saying, what, I've got a lot of, you saying that I'm full of valor? Are you saying that I am courageous and brave? And the Lord said, yes. Stay with me today. Two short points I want to bring to you. First of all, God knew where Gideon was when the Midianites didn't. First of all, notice that. God knew where the Midianites, where Gideon was, pardon me, when the Midianites didn't. In verse 11, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was at Ophrah that pertained to Joash the Abiezrite and his son Gideon. The angel of the Lord just didn't go and see who he could find. He knew exactly where to go. And he knew exactly when to go. And he sat under an oak, just waiting for Gideon to pop out his head. He knows the exact time. He knows the exact place. And he's coming for a particular person, Gideon. And sometimes we think, Lord, do you know? Do you see? Do you hear? While it may seem cowardly, that Gideon was hiding while threshing the wheat behind the wine press, while it may seem cowardly that Gideon was threshing wheat and hiding, perhaps it wasn't cowardice at all, but it was courage. Because Gideon was there. Gideon was doing it. And we don't read of any others that were. And sometimes people think, you know, I'm not doing much. I'm fainting yet pursuing. Sometimes people think, what does it really matter to me? I'm useless. I'm worthless. I'm wantless. You know, I'm nearly like a card, and I feel like I want to roll into a ball and get under the duvet, as it were, and just hide away. Listen, brothers and sisters, listen now. What you have done this morning has been a wonderful, immense task if you are pursuing, and yet you know you've been fainting all along. You've already gotten a victory, and God sees that victory. Looks at you. Mentally, maybe you're struggling. Spiritually, maybe you're struggling. Physically, maybe you're struggling. And God looks at you in all your weariness and your problems and your troubles and your wanting to hide. And he says unto you, you're a mighty man of valor. You're a mighty woman of valor. You've done so well this morning, daughter. You've done so well this morning, son. You've got up. You've got ready, you've got out, and you've come, even with the littlest part that you feel is no longer faith, has brought you here. You are mighty in valor this morning. But how could God use someone like Gideon hiding to defeat a big enemy? How could God use somebody like Gideon to defeat the great armies of the Midianites? Well, what God was about to do was not show Gideon's strength nor Gideon's glory. God was about to show his strength and his glory through Gideon. Is there a Gideon this morning and you are just hiding behind the wine press? You're here and no more, and you're saying, Lord, I'm here, but my heart's in my boots. My spirit is melted within me. My mind's all over the place. I can't even keep a concentration. My heart has been broken. And all of this happens. And the Lord says, you've done well. You're a mighty man of valor, a woman of valor. You're here. You've done it. You've got that victory. And I can take that and show my glory through it and strengthen you in it. Listen, Gideon was doing it when none others we read about were. Maybe you're in a ministry and you feel, Lord, there's nobody else doing this and it's really tiresome and I'm fainting yet pursuing. Maybe so. But you keep going, brother and sister, and wait and see what God does and whom he brings alongside to help you in it. Gideon wasn't denying his circumstances. Let's get that clear. Some charismatic circles, some would say, it's not really happening. Speak into the existence and your life into existence. Who are you, God? And they think, yes. Gideon wasn't denying his circumstances. He was fearful, but yet he was showing courage. He was hiding, yet he was working. And God knew where to find him. Gideon wasn't denying the circumstances that he was in, nor his predicament. And listen, here's the thing. When the angel of the Lord comes to him, Gideon's just honest with the Lord. He's just brutally honest with him. And you need to be brutally honest with God. And if you have someone you know and trust and you know you can speak to where they won't go and say, well, sure, I'll just tell one person to ease the burden. Next thing, a whole lot of people are easing your burden. And really, by the time they're easing your burden, a whole lot of people are putting the burden on you. But if you have that one person, Sometimes, especially men, let's just call it what it is, men, it's pride. We won't speak and talk about it because it makes us look weak. It makes us look weak when we are full of bravado and we're strong, you know. If I speak about it, it'll make me feel like I'm weak. Make people look at me wrong. They'll not look at me. Listen, unless you want people to look at you way up there and say, wow, you're great, it doesn't really matter what they think of you on this level. And if you want people to look at you up there and say, wow, you're great, we all look to you, then you have them looking at the wrong person. You should be looking to Christ. But on this level, gentlemen and ladies, we're all the same. See around this table as we break bread this morning? We're all the same. When we're in Christ, we're all the same. Notice, Gideon wasn't denying his circumstances nor his predicament. He was acknowledging them. But he was doing as he could at that time. And he was doing what he could at that time. And the angel of the Lord says to him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Keep going, you're doing well. I don't feel it, Lord. Keep going, you're doing great, son. Oh, I don't feel it, Lord. Oh, Father, I don't feel it. Keep going, you're doing great, daughter. Oh, Father, but this and that and the other, and I'm so weak, but I'm here. I'm in the place of prayer. I'm a place of worship. I'm reading the word. I can't really take much in, but I'm reading anyhow. Keep going. Maybe you're faint yet pursuing this morning. Keep going, brothers and sisters. Keep going. You're doing well. You're doing well. In verse 13, Gideon said, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. There is Gideon's predicament. That's what we're hearing across churches now. It's all fanfare and flesh. But when it really came in and the Midianites, as it were, came in and told everybody to shut their doors and never open again type of thing, they did it. Mask up and shut up. They did it. But if you were with us, Lord, all the time, listen, right across Ulster, the evangelical church, they did it. We stand for the blood in the book. But they did it. Brothers and sisters, all of us are going to be tried. We're tried in our own lives. Different circumstances in our homes, our families, our own lives. All of us have it. It's how we deal with it. How you and I deal with it. But we'll all be tried and tested as a church body here in CET, here in Christ Encounters Tabernacle. We will all be tested and tried. The body at large of the blood washed in Christ will be tried further again. Out tonight, I'm going to take you a wee reading of this 33-degree Mason, what he said about the Christian. And it's happening. About the Zionists. It's happening. About Islam. It's happening. Listen, maybe we're tired and we're weary because we are a busy church. You're faint, but yet you're pursuing. Listen, we're not there yet. Just come on. keep going. Keep going. Gideon wouldn't have met the angel of the Lord if he had stayed at home. Gideon would have met the angel of the Lord if he hadn't have been still laboring at the wine press with the wheat. Time's flowing. Let me do the second point. I might do it part two next week because of so much material. It took me a day and a half to put it together. And most of the stuff I'm talking to you about I still haven't written down. So there's a lot there. We'll not go through all of it. In verse 14, after all of this, the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. What might? I'm hiding behind the wine press. The only courage I have, I've mustered up to get here. I'm putting the wheat behind the wine press just to try and feed us. And seemingly, I'm the only one here. It's only happening to me. It's only my home. It's only my family. It's only my life. It's not the way we feel sometimes. It doesn't happen. You see Christians walking in here. You see families walking in here, and some of them, and I don't care what way, as long as it's modest, by the way, ladies, your modesty and thing up, but you come in here, a gentleman with a suit on, that's good. If you're ministering around the table, we expect that. But here's the thing. There's people come in looking the part. And as the pastor, I know nearly every story. Every heart. Every hurt. Every trouble. Every anxiety. Every worry. And as the pastor, I see people as they wane. Try and lift them up again. Try and encourage them again. See them as they struggle. Sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we think it's just us. And again, you're not on your own. Because you look at other people and you measure yourself by other people. You measure yourself by other people who can pray well and you can't pray well in public. Who can maybe preach and you can't preach. Who can maybe do something or sing or play. Listen, you aren't to measure yourself by them. Your stature is this. Your stature is Christ. And by the way, the polished look that, I'm talking about me as well, all of us. The polished look that we have sometimes is veneer. Because sometimes we're all fainting, but we're still pursuing. We're struggling, but we're going on. If you're on the mountaintop at the minute, lift a brother or sister up. Lift that brother and sister up. I must close this because time is away. The second point is this. Gideon looks at his lack of pedigree. After I run down, just for time's sake. Verse 15, and he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor. I'm poor. In Manasseh. And I am the least in my father's house. Me? Why not you? Why not you? God's chosen you to salvation. God has cleansed you through the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus. You have made him your total, soul, only, uniquely, and completely sin bearer for all of it. Your Savior. He has sealed you unto the day of redemption by his Holy Spirit. Why not you? Why would God not raise you up to be a voice in our land? Why not you? I'm behind the wine press. Yeah. You can go behind the wine press when a whole lot won't. When my old dad was alive, doesn't matter whether you're a pastor or it doesn't matter where you've been saved for a lot of years or whatever, you know, you're still your dad's son. And especially when you're a hellion the way I was. And so they still have that sort of in the back of their mind until you were saved. And he was glad of the change in my life, of course. But when I was preaching and speaking, my dad used to say to me, "Son, can you just not learn to keep your mouth shut? You're going to get yourself into trouble." And I said, "Well, I can, Dad, but then I can't." He says, "Well, why does it have to be you?" I says, "I don't know. This has been placed in me, and that's what I do." You're going to get yourself into trouble. You know, the early Christians got themselves into trouble. The apostles in the book of Acts, when they preached anywhere, there was either a riot. I'm not telling you about rioting now, by the way. That's not what I'm saying. But there was a rat or a revival. You see, the devil was stirred up, but the Holy Ghost saved. And when we are moving and God is blessing and increasing and doing and saving and all sorts, you can expect in your life, or whether it's in our assembly, you can expect there to be a rat at some point in your life. You can be the voice. I know what I'm called to, so I'll do what I do. But you can be a voice. Gideon says, "My family is poor Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And again, in verse 16, the Lord said unto him, "Surely I will be with thee." You see, it's important to know that God has called us. And it's important to know that God has sent us. But it's even more important to know that God is with us. God is with you this morning, believer. God is with you. So, close with this. Psalm 83 and verse 3 says, "They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones." Thy hidden ones. God's people here are looked at as hidden, H-I-D-D-E-N, hidden ones. And it's the word safan in the Hebrew. And this is what it means, to hide, to treasure up. That God knows you's in here this morning, and whoever else is grouped together as a body of blood-washed believers, born-again, spirit-filled believers, God has treasured. The idea was God has treasured Israel together and all of the nations. And here God has treasured the believers together, and he holds you as a special treasure. You're my treasure. It means to hide from discovery. Maybe you just haven't been discovered yet. To hoard up and to reserve for oneself. So Puritan Thomas Watson said, "The saints of God are called hidden ones." Why so? Not only because they are hidden God's decree and hidden Christ's wounds, but oft times God hides them in a time of danger and calamity. He reserved to himself 7,000 that had not bowed the knee to Baal. The prophet knew not where there was one, but God knew where there was 7,000. CET Church, we're not on our own. We're not on our own, CET. God is with us. And God will raise them up at the right time. Raise us up at the right time. Maybe we all have been an assembly hidden in obscurity. And I believe through the blood of Christ we are treasured ones. And maybe we have been hidden in a field, in a tent. You know, the devil was looking in the door this morning. The devil was looking over the fence there this morning. A group of them looking to see what we were at. That's true. Why just we're gathering together. But here's the thing. The Lord says, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. He is on control. He is on the throne. He is alive. Let me just read this and I'm definitely finished. The last one was a false alarm. God knows your struggle. God knows your burden and God knows your anxieties. God knows your thoughts and your fears and your enemies who are out to attack you. God knows where you are and where you are in hiding. God knows where you are, whether it's behind the wine press or, listen, behind the curtains. When all my family died, all that sort of so close together, just all died, boom. Alice and I called it a season of death. And when they all died, I was still in our last church. I was there. I took a week off and I came back the next Sunday. And I started ministering on the goodness of God. But when I was getting home, I was closing the blinds and turning out the lights at night in case somebody rapped my door because I couldn't face them. Heartbroken, distraught, depressed. And I still had some getting at me and telling me I wasn't doing things right in the church. But you know what it done? Romans 8:28 says, for we know that all things. Can you say all things? Would you shout it out, please? All things work together for the good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Little did I know, you are all going to be sitting here this morning. Little did I know that I'm going to be standing here this morning. Little did I know that you're going to be hearing words that are going to strengthen you in your faith this morning. The devil hated it, didn't want it, doesn't want it to happen. But glory to God, he has brought you here for such a time as this. He knows. He knows. God has treasured you up and you are reserved and preserved by him for such a time as this. God has others still in faith and still in the fight. You are not alone. You are not the first to walk this path or this way. Others have paved it for you. And although you look and see none about you, God knows who you are and where they are to help. And at the right time, it'll come. He, like you, will call them out of obscurity to his, into his divine will and battle plan. Listen. Gideon is written in Hebrews 11, if you read it. Faith's Hall of Fame. The man behind the wine press. Threshing the wheat. We can look at him as a card, but God comes and says, you are a mighty man of valor. The Lord is with thee. And you might have come out weak and says, you're a mighty son, a mighty daughter of mine, and you're in valor. I see the valor in your heart, but I'm breaking. I'm broken. I'm bruised. I'm battered. I'm down. I'm depressed. I'm dejected. I'm disillusioned. I'm weak and I'm weary, Lord, he says. But I see in you not what you are, but what you're going to become. That's what he says. Fainting yet pursuing. I'll see how I get on. Maybe I'll pray about it. Maybe next week, do part two. See how what God gives me. May the Lord bless you all this morning. Team, would you come up, please?